Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Loudmouth Radio. We are live. It is a wonderful Thursday evening in downtown Atlanta. It's January 21st, 2015, and we are in premiere week for Loudmouth Radio. We are so excited about the second year anniversary that we're coming up to so quickly on Sunday, January 25th. I cannot believe that we've been on air already for 2 years, and it has just been an awesome blessing for God to have put us in this position to be able to do this. And tonight I'm so excited about our guest for In the Studio with Sunny. I am your host, the Loudmouth of Radio, Sunny herself. And as a producer of this network, I have been extremely excited to be able to bring some of the best things that we could possibly bring to our listening audience. And tonight I'm sure will be nothing less than a joy. And our guest tonight has been a repeat guest for us. Tonight will make his second time on air, but tonight would definitely be a first opportunity for us as a network to talk about something that is so significant in history. And if you haven't heard about it, you have to be on another planet. The movie Selma is out in screening now as we speak, pretty much all over the country. And, you know, we have been at a place where history has become so profound. We're looking at the 50th year anniversary for the March on Selma. And as a network, we're so excited about our guest tonight. So before I bring him on, I want to make sure we recognize our media partners, as always, who help our network to keep going and who has significantly taken the time to say, yes, I need to put my business in place to be further heard. We are being powered and sponsored by Pizza Day of Stockbridge, Georgia. Also, Taste of Thailand, located in Jonesboro, Georgia. You'll hear more about them. They're a brand-new establishment. Insurance Associates of Atlanta, that's located in the heart of Conyers, Georgia, as well as Carolyn McKenzie's Mental Health in African-American Community, a nonprofit organization that's doing big things in the community. So tonight, I think that is just awesome for us to welcome Mr. Kent Falcon, who is not only an actor on For Better or Worse, Tyler Perry's ongoing sitcom that is running currently now on the OWN network, but Kent Falcon has done many of things, from acting, directing, writing, you name it. He is truly an art form, and he's not bad on the eye. Kent, I know you're here with us tonight. How are you, darling?
Hey, Sunny, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I am just wonderful, darling. As always, it is a pleasure to hear your voice, and I know you've been a busy man.
I appreciate the invite.
Yes, a little bit.
I, you know, forgive the background noise. I'm in the middle of running right now. You know, trying to fight some of this LA traffic, going from one thing to another. But you know, definitely wanted to stop and make time, you know, for my peeps, and also, you know, shout out to the folks in Atlanta as well as, you know, all over, because I know this is heard all over. But you know, it's like
yes,
the second home. Definitely got to make time.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we welcome your beautiful face every time you hit the pavement here. Atlanta has become the second home to you, especially with you working on the network, currently with For Better or Worse, with the Tyler Perry network and
OWN
network. And I know that you always have different projects going on that take you, that takes you all over the world. So But most importantly, tonight we're talking about a very prestigious role that you play in the movie Selma, Dr. Sullivan Jackson. And Ken, I want to allow you to really talk a lot about this gentleman and the role that he played and the significance of his relationship. But at the same time, I'm going to say this before I allow you to kind of go into that aspect.
Right.
You know, Dr. King, of course, is the biggest pivotal person that is recognized in the film, of course. But, you know, a lot of times, we get drawn to the people who are more, you know, that we become more conscious of. But Dr. King, like so many other people that have done things in civil rights and leadership, they recognize that the people in the movement, in the cause with them, help them to get to where they are. They help to bring that dream alive. And
Absolutely.
Yes. And yes,
yeah,
your
so
role, you know, Dr. Sullivan Jackson, please share with us about this prominent man in the early 50s and 60s.
Right. Well, to piggyback on what you're saying and keep going in that direction, that was, you know, Ava
sure.
DuVernay, who's the director of the film, is actually a very close friend of mine. We met on as filmmakers. I had my first feature I directed and her first documentary feature that she had directed. And we were on the festival circuit together and, you know,
nice.
We just kind of traveled around and became fast friends. So when she called me in April and said, you know, Ken, I've been working on this script, Selma, and there's this role, and every line I write for him, I just keep thinking of you. Will you come and play? And I was like, are you kidding? Like, you my girl. You know, I'll come pull a cable for
oh
you.
Oh, my
you.
God.
You know,
that's right. I'll be your gaffer.
Yeah. right. So, you know, I mean, you know, we peoples, we were, you know, when Obama was first elected, we all at the house together. I was like, you know, we, you know, like that. So, of course, I'm going to come and do whatever I can for you. So, one, I was honored, but what she did was she, you know, the project was Selma, and her goal was to not only highlight, you know, King as a man, but that the film is called Selma because it was about the people, because that's what it took. It took the people
right.
to make a difference, and you can't have a march without bodies. You can't have, and each of those people had a story, and there's so many people in the movement that were not prominent, like you say, with King, but, you know, without them, things couldn't have happened. And the role
right.
that I played was Dr. Sullivan Jackson. And he was, you know, a real-life figure. He was a dentist in Selma, a very prominent dentist. He, you know, in fact, he had the biggest
yeah.
house in Selma, you know, in terms of black folks. You know, he had two bathrooms. Now, we're talking, they was living high back then, right?
Okay,
so,
you're right.
right? So, and,
for real.
And his wife, yeah, right? His wife, Richie Jean, who's played by Niecy Nash in the movie, Richie Jean and Coretta were actually childhood friends, so they had known each other for a while. And so
Wonderful.
When King and his men would ever come to Selma, you know, they couldn't really stay at the hotels, but didn't really want to stay at some hotels, they would stay at the Jackson's home. And Sully, Richie Jean actually wrote a book a couple years before she passed called The Little House on the Side of the Road, which kind of chronicles that time when King and the men were staying at the house. And King and Sully, you know, they were both about the same size, kind of had, you know, similar taste. So if King
similar
got
build.
Caught short, yeah, exactly,
uh-huh.
and, you know, was staying too long and needed to borrow a suit, he borrowed one of Sully's suits. You know, if he was, you know, staying the night and needed some pajamas, he borrowed some of Sully's pajamas. And they were
it
just
was his brother.
They was boys like that. And so and Ava really kind of wanted to, you know, highlight people that were in the movement that contributed. And one of the things she told me, long before we started shooting, she was talking about the script and saying that, you know, Paul, the credited writer on it, British guy, you know, he had written the script, and she was like, well, where are the women? And his
yes.
response was pretty much, well, they weren't really prominent in the movement, you know, so they just kind of really weren't there, right? And that was the gist of his response, that they didn't really play a role. And we were like, are you kidding me? Oh, no. So, you know, Ava, to her credit, did a page one rewrite of this thing, and she highlighted how women, not only were they on the front line, but they were behind the scenes. And one of the things, that the way Ava layered this film so much with good complexity and just realness, was that Richie Jean character, you know, she was supporting those men. You know, they was having a debate.
That's right.
And he was the, you know, she was providing a meal or the cup of coffee. It's those little things that were able to keep people going. And that
Absolutely.
Plays a prominent role And so it's families like the Jacksons and just other people that were involved in the movement, the marches on the bridge, people that suffered, they all contributed, you know, and
That's right.
In all their own their small way. And they all suffered, you know, as
exactly.
I read.
Exactly, I can imagine.
Yeah, and in research, you know, Dr. Sullivan wasn't on the bridge on Bloody Sunday, but when they found out, you know, he was being supportive, the county cut his contract because he was providing all the dental work for all the jails and stuff. So they, you know, they were trying to hit him in the pocket.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, he persevered and he knew what was important, so he continued to lend his support. And, you know, it's crazy. We were down in Selma, and that house is still there. The house we filmed the movie is not the actual house, but when we were down in Selma, I think the house is still in the family's name. And so it was just these little things, a lot of goosebump moments as we were filming this movie about, you know, everyone playing their part, you know, or contributing. And that's the lesson I took from it. You know, everybody has a role to play.
Wow. And you know what, Ken, to see that firsthand and to be a part of history and something so significant in the role, you know, when I saw you come up on screen and, you know, we talked, of course, after I saw the film, and I didn't know, you know, so much about the Jacksons. But
right.
Even without knowing the whole back end of the story, you could see that, you know, Ava did a great job putting the position. You could tell, you know, these two people mattered. You know, as soon as they pull up, first thing you come out and say, yeah, you know, she inside waiting on you, you know, and they came in there like some hound dogs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, you already know, you ain't going to pull up to no black woman table like that if you are not, you know, part of the family and the ramifications and get down. And it was like coming home, and you could see that whole feel, and it was amazing, you know, Niecy. As well as yourself, it wasn't a whole lot of verbiage as far as a whole lot of lines in certain parts of those scenes. But just her standing there, taking a step back and just looking at all the brothers in her kitchen and living room eating. And, you know, you can see that, you know, everybody was there driven for a purpose. And you also can see that it was a safe haven. At least that's what I took, my interpretation of what I saw.
So, you're absolutely right. It was family. I mean, their daughter did actually call him Uncle Marty, and Sully and King did tease each other. You know, they used to call each other Doctor. Hey, Doctor. Good morning, Doctor. Doctor. You know,
exactly.
And that was some of their playful things that they would do with one another. And you're right. It was a safe haven for them. And what I liked about what Ava was able to accomplish, even on the page, was the sense of uncertainty at that time. You know, the story wasn't written. We didn't know how this was going to end. None of them know what was going to come from one day to the next, you know. So there was always a sense of danger. And in reading that book by Ms. Jackson, you know, they talked about they had a whole protocol in place for their daughter when the threats got too heavy or they thought something was jumping off at the house. You know, the neighbors knew to meet them at the back fence, take the baby, and go to Richard Jean's mom across town. You know, they had a whole little emergency plan because, hey, you know, it was dangerous times. And even when we were shooting, I remember we were driving on some of the back roads. We were going up to Birmingham, which is where Andre, who plays Andrew Young in the film, his
people
were from there.
Oh, my God, he looked so much like Andrew Young. It was scary.
It was good. It was good casting. So, you know, we were going up to visit Andre and his family, whatever, and we were coming back late, and we were on some of them dark Alabama roads, and, you know, we were just talking like that. What would we do if a pair of headlights popped up in the rear view right now and another car trying to box us in and ain't a light to be seen, ain't nothing but ditches on each side of the street, you know? It was a dangerous time. It was an age of terrorism right here on Island.
And this is 2015.
Yeah.
So imagine 50 years ago, the same roads being traveled with less, the development now compared to what it looked like back then, you know. I can only imagine, you know, fear. I don't even think fear is the word.
Exactly.
It was one of those things where you just had to instinctively walk by faith, seriously, because, you know, I've said this as a small person. When I first became aware who Dr. King was and, you know, the struggle of civil rights, that it was purposely that I was not born in that time period for some reason, you know.
Right.
And
somebody was looking out for you, right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, really, you know, as my good friend, comedian Rodney Perry, calls me, like, one of them lady dudes. You know, they would have seen me and Selma talking about some, I want to vote. And they were like, well, you know, who are you? What you want to do? And, you know, you just have to recognize that everyone has purpose. And, you know, to have the strength that these people had to step mm-hmm. forward in a city that was full of anger and hate. And, you know, and it's so funny, the fear was on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right, that's true. That's true.
You know, the pivotal things is that you got to recognize that there's so many layers to those moments, you
right.
know, and for the Jacksons, you know, even though it wasn't shared, you know, in full storyline, Dr. Jackson was a prominent dentist. I don't
right.
know how much more about him do you know with your history of the character himself?
Well, you know, I was able to learn a lot from the book that his wife wrote, you know, in terms of, you
okay.
know, kind of like his personality.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the sirens coming in. We got some L.A., something jumping off on L.A., so I'll let them pass.
That's okay,
by
no real. Problem.
Kind of learned things that she would write about, you know, kind of like his temperament, you know, in terms of
yeah.
He wasn't, at least how she described him, he didn't put up with a lot of fuss, you know, and that, you know, he was the kind of cat that's like, until there's something to worry about, let's don't be worried about it, right? That's kind of the way he was.
Yeah.
So when
mm-hmm.
when she would be a little apprehensive or what have you, and, you know, he wanted to take his nap on the couch, she wrote that he'd take his nap on the couch, and she want to fret about whatever, and he'd say, you know, Richard Jean, now ain't nothing to be worried about until there's something to be worried about. And so,
I know, that's right.
So the dynamics of their relationship, which, you know, we don't actually get to capture on screen, it did sort of help fill in those moments. And I thought Ava
exactly.
was able to get so much out of a lot of people. Like, you know, I look at the Diana Nash character that Tessa Thompson plays. You know, we
mm-hmm.
see her a lot. She doesn't have a lot to say. And hopefully it opens people to say, well, who was the sister and what was she about? And then you'll find out, you know, how pivotal, you know, Diane Nash was, you know, to the movement.
Exactly.
And, you know, and she was married to James Bevel, you know, who Common played. And I know there were some things that they shot where you kind of see what that relationship is that didn't actually
okay.
make it into the film. And, you know, some other
right.
things that, yeah, that Niecy and I shot that didn't make it as well. And seeing the finished product, I can see why, you know, some of it was not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It might have taken you off, you know, and
right.
you know, in the opening sequence with King and I, he, you know, it's the scene goes on longer where I'm talking to him and he, you know, saying, you know, everyone's really excited, you want big crowds, and he expresses me his concern that, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to put folks in danger. You know, there's a real apprehension
exactly.
there. And then
exactly.
what I use to boost him up to say, you know, but that's all right, you know, Rich Gene is in that, right? And I
mm-hmm.
think what Ava didn't want to do is she didn't want to tip the hand of his concern too early in the film, that she, you know, she wanted the events to happen and to strike him so we could, that emotional impact was, you know, because if he's
absolutely.
Worried about it, seeing it coming, I think it may have lessened the blow a little bit. So I think she
right.
made the
but
right
choice.
You could
see the tension. You know, Kent, you could,
yeah.
you could see she did a fantastic job building up that whole level of tension. And, you know, the apprehension, and like you said, he got up, he got down on his knees, he prayed, you know, and sometimes people just
mm-hmm.
don't understand, you know, that connection of feeling what is in your inner voice telling
right,
you that,
right.
no, this, and you already know, they would have got their head
mm-hmm.
bashed in.
Oh, yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And then the level of intelligence and saying, you know, it was a mixture of faith. You know, some of that common sense kicked in and instinct
mm-hmm.
and, you know, saying, okay, you know what, let's take this through the court system. That's
right.
our rite of passage. And that's exactly
right.
what, took place, you know.
Yeah.
And
sometimes, like you say, it could be a little bit of street smart. Sometimes you're street
exactly.
smart. Exactly. Hey, wait, hold on. Maybe we don't take this shortcut down this alley. Maybe, you know, somebody, you know. But then, you know what I'm saying? We all got a little bit of that innocence.
Yeah,
sometimes,
man. And look, if you travel anywhere like Chicago, L.A., or anywhere, you've been in some of the deep neighborhoods, you're like, you know what? This don't feel right. We're just going to go ahead and go.
Yeah.
It might take us 20 minutes longer, but we're going to go the
right.
other way.
Something up,
and
right?
Yes. This just don't feel right. So, you know, what, you know, during the, I don't know how long you were on set, you know, during the process of the film, and if were you there primarily from, you know, beginning to end on set?
I was there about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, and just shooting, you know, because like in the church scenes, you know, Niecy and I are there, you know, we're just not featured,
right.
but, you know, we're there, so we're there for those scenes. And then, you know, since Abe was a friend of mine, you know, I came in a little early and was able to see, you know, some of the things that she was shooting, like the courthouse confrontation scene where Oprah smacks, you know, Jim Clark, Sheriff Clark, and they wrestle her to the ground. You know, I was there,
exactly.
you know, watching all that stuff, you know, unfold. And it was a rough morning. It was the morning that Maya Angelou passed. And I know it was probably hard for Ms. Winfrey, but, you know, she came and brought it, you know. And
held it together.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so I was able to see a lot of the things that were shut down. Some, you know, like the White House stuff and some of the courtroom things. I think I was in Atlanta at that time, but I didn't shoot at that time. So some of that stuff I wasn't around for, but for a good bit
uh-huh.
of it I was able to see. Yeah.
You were able to see and witness. And so how, you know, to be a part of a film like this, I mean, what is the ultimate, you know, process that you take from being a part of something like this?
Well, you know, I just look at it as just, you know, like so many things in my career, it was just, you know, just a blessing, you know, that God just really just blessed me with this opportunity to be a part of something that, you know, I do feel is really special, that I feel will be, you know, 20 years from now, people will still, you know, see this movie. You know, it's the first time that, you know, King's life or any part of his life has been a major motion picture. Yeah, we've had TV movies
yes.
and movies of the week and cable stuff, but, you know, a theatrical motion picture on King's life, you know, I think it's pretty, you know, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, I just feel blessed and honored to, you know, you just be a part and like, Niecy and I say we contributed our little part, just like the Martians
know,
did
right.
and folks back then. We contributed our little part, and so, you know, if my little bit contributes and helps it along, then hey, I'm more than satisfied
and
with
your
that.
Part.
You know, just bless.
Absolutely,
yep.
I can
just
only
bless.
Imagine. So, for as far as the, you know, for some of our listeners who may not know, who may not be keeping up with the process of what has taken place with Selma since the release, it has won a Golden Globe for the collaboration with Common and John Legend.
Yeah, exactly. Won Best Song, that's right. And
yes.
And it's nominated for Best Picture and also Best Song for the Oscars. And it's been on pretty much anybody's top 10 list of films of 2014, you're going to find Selma parked on that list. It has just been just really, really well received. And for a while there, it had the unprecedented, you know, 100%, you know, fresh, ripe rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is just amazing.
Amazing.
And if the listeners don't know, that's, you know, that's a site where they compile all the reviews and critics about a particular film, and then they give it a ranking or give it a percentage, and it
exactly.
was getting 100% approval rating. So that was pretty
which
special.
Phenomenal.
And,
yeah. That's
and
not
so,
an easy
feat. No, exactly. And Ava's just been trailblazing. You know, she was the first female director for this, you know, to win Sundance with her film Middle of Nowhere, to be named Best Director at Sundance. That never happened before. And then for her to be nominated for, you know, Best Director at the Golden Globe, black female, that was, you know, a first. And, you know, I've known she's been special since, you know, that documentary that I saw, this is way back in like 2008 when we got tight. And, you know, I was singing her praises from the rooftops back then when didn't nobody know her, right? And so a buddy of mine was like, man, aren't you proud of Ava? I said, man, I'm beyond proud. You know what I am? I'm satisfied because y'all seeing what I saw. You know, now everybody's seeing it. You know, I was satisfied.
Now the world gets to witness it.
Yeah, exactly. I called that one. Now I was right on that one. I was right. So I'm just thrilled for her. And, you know, she has certainly blown open some doors. And, I don't know where she'll go from here, but, you know, she knows that she's had people in her corner before she was there. And she's mm-hmm. going to have people.
And they're going to be there after. That's right.
Exactly. If the spotlight goes, you know, we still down for it.
Absolutely. And it's just a proud, you know, if you're at all anywhere in the film or in the arts or something like that, it's just something that, you know, I can say is a proud moment to see a film like this come forth. This has by far been the best adaptation I've seen, you know, about civil rights and I can't really even really put a whole lot right behind it that hit this level of grace that Ava really hit with this thing. And I think, like you said, a lot of scenes, I can only imagine in the cutting room, like, okay, what are we going to cut out? Because when they edited this thing, I can only imagine, you know, the struggle would have been to reduce and minimize certain scenes, but to, you know, keep intact what we were able to see on the screen. I don't know how long the film was exactly. Was it like 2.5 hours?
No, it's not that long. It's I think it's right at 2 hours. I think it's just right at 2 hours. Yeah.
And it really doesn't feel like it. You know, it flowed from beginning to end.
Which I always attribute to is a great job of filmmaking. If you can still build suspense and carry people on when they know the ending of the story, you know, like I always gave James Cameron his props that, you know, Titanic was a great movie. We all knew the shit was going to go down, right? So
exactly.
We still say, you know, I was like,
but
that's
to build it up.
That's a making of a great filmmaker. And I think Ava did the exact same thing. We knew how it was going to end. We knew that, you know, Johnson was going to come around and was going to push that vote. You know, the voting rights bill did get passed. So we knew they were going to be
absolutely
victorious, but to have us go through that journey of getting there was just, you know, I thought she did a really good job, really good job.
I know that's right. So for you, at this point, I know that President Obama had a screening at the White House. I know we talked
mm-hmm.
right before then. You didn't attend that yourself.
No, I didn't make it out to D.C. for that one, no. But
okay,
it was wonderful.
Yes, I did too. Now, as far as I believe that Sunday, right before Martin Luther King's holiday, I believe a lot of the cast went to Alabama to Selma.
Let's see. I think David was there, Ava, Oprah, and Common, and I think John Legend were both there. I think that's the ones that I saw in terms of where I haven't repped with. Because Coleman, who plays Abernathy, he's actually in the middle of doing the Scottsboro Boys show in London on the West End. So he's been bopping back and forth, you know, to do these events in between, you know, doing the show in London. So he's been burning the airways up because Oprah had her big Legends weekend up in Santa
mm-hmm.
Barbara. He had to fly in for that, and that was an amazing weekend. And that's been one of the other blessings of being, you know, in this project is that, you know, some of this after stuff has just been surreal. You know, her weekend in Santa
mm-hmm.
Barbara where we screened the film and we paid homage to all the legends, you know, John Lewis and C.T. Vivian and Diana Nash and Sidney Poitier it just goes on and on. Mega Evers, widow Merle Evers, Ralph Albert.
Was Harry Belafonte actually present?
No, he did not make it. There was a video tribute there, but no, he didn't make it out. But it was when I say surreal, it was.
I had so many
Bill Counters, Sonny, that later that night, somebody was asking me, going back to the hotel room, they was like, what were you talking to George Lucas about so long after the screening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my response. Oh, that's right. I forgot that happened. So,
wow.
You know, when you've been, you know, how many encounters you must have had that sitting around and talking to George Lucas for about 10, 15 minutes completely flips your mind. So it was
exactly
that kind of event and weekend that was just it was just really amazing. I was blessed to be a part and meet some fantastic people, you know, Quincy Jones,
I can imagine
Barry Gordy,
and it felt like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
That is amazing. So do you know if as a cast, of course the Selma March is coming up again. Well,
mm-hmm.
the 50th year anniversary will be in March. And I know that
mm-hmm.
the radio network, we've had some involvement with some organizations and things of that nature that like the SCLC and different organizations from the Atlanta market that will be going to the ground with Selma. And I believe we'll possibly be putting ourselves in position as official media in regards to some of the things that's going on. Do you have intent or have you guys as a cast talked about going to Selma during that time period?
You know, nothing officially has come together. I think maybe once we get into March, you know, we may start, you know, putting our heads together and seeing if we'll try to make something out there. And maybe in February they'll start talking, or, you know, Paramount may come to us and say, hey, we would really like you guys to come participate. But right now I don't think anything has been officially in place. But, you know, it's such an amazing cast. It was like, you know, at the New York premiere, when we were in front of the New York Public Library at the public at the after party, and, you know, we all put on the I Can't Breathe T-shirts and took the picture. It was kind of like,
oh, yeah, I saw
you know, that
you guys, like, on a stairwell or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And, you know, that wasn't Paramount. Mm-hmm. That wasn't studio. That was us wanting to make a statement. And John Lavelle, who plays the New York Times reporter in the film, he had the printer printed up. Wendell Pierce, you know, fronted the money, and then Corey Reynolds, who plays C.T. Vivian, he had the box of T-shirts on the plane, so it was like everybody was doing their part to, you know, get together to, you know, make that statement, you know?
Exactly.
And that's kind of what this kind of cast is, these people are. It really did become a second family, you know. I've been blessed with it, for better or worse, you know, they're truly like siblings over there, you know, like brothers and sisters, but you know, I count this cast of Selma as just, you know, extremely special and lifelong friends that I made on this show.
I can, and it feels that way, and it's amazing, and I'm glad you touched on that, because I was going to say that, you know, I'm sure that Ava did not, nobody would know or even begin to think that Ferguson would happen in the height of this. Eric Gardner, the young man, the 12-year-old out of Ohio. Yes. So for this to come out at the time that it did, it's amazing. You know, the universe aligned that up significantly, into which it hopefully will resonate more to the younger people in our generation and beyond us, as, you know, beneath us in age, to recognize how important it is to vote. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I have family. I love a lot of family that is in St. Louis, and I remember calling and checking on them. They said it looks like Vietnam out here, you know. And
wow.
They said the biggest
wow.
thing about it, they said, you know, that, you know, we're like, because these young people did not come out and vote, you know,
right.
And now we're,
right.
we're dealing with the aftermath because they did not come out and vote, you know.
Right.
So it's,
right.
It's one of those rippling effects that something that we have seen now, and this is why it's so significant, you know, I saw how a New York, it started out in New York where business leaders started putting money together for these young people to go and actually see this film and raise over $275,000 for 7th, 8th, and 9th graders to go and see the film in the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And that has spread it over multitudes of other states and other, you know, which I think is wonderful to see people step up and
it
say,
is.
Look, you need to go see this film. This history is so important, because I'm going to tell you, it's sad, but a lot of our young people feel so entitled and do not know. 50 years is not that far, especially when you have some of these people that you guys are playing these roles are still living, that can tell
oh, yeah.
you, yeah, my face got bashed in, you know.
Exactly,
And,
you know, Representative
yes.
Lewis, you know, he was there, you know, fractured
yes.
skull on that bridge. You know, Ruby Bridges, the little girl who, you know, integrated the schools, and Norman Rockwell painted the painting with her and the U.S. Marshals walking in the schoolhouse.
Walking
you know,
her in safe, yeah, to put her
yeah,
in a safe
she was
into
at,
the
she
school.
She was at Oprah's that weekend, and, you know, she's just like another lady. You'd see her, you know, walking down the street, and you'd be like, you would know that here's a pioneer, here's a trailblazer right here. Here's Ruby Bridges right here, the, you know, little black girl integrating these schools. You're right, and I know some of the young folks are like, I don't want to see that. That feel, you know, they feel like a victim and maybe somehow ashamed. And what hopefully they'll understand, and I understand where that feeling comes from. That comes from the way that, you know, that we're educated, the way that we're taught history in this country, that
right.
it feels like a victim, you know, calling
right. and the infliction
slaves like that's a species. It's like, no, they weren't slaves. They were enslaved. Africans, you know,
right.
there's no such thing as
right.
a slave. There is a person, and that is a condition that's put on them, you know. And so when you see it
that's
that
right.
way, then you can they feel like a victim. But what it hopefully they'll take from it is like, no, you are not a victim. You come from a strong stock. If you walking around here, that means that your gene pool was strong because you were the ones that survived, that you
I'm
made
trying to
it.
Tell you.
Your people made it through the hulls of those ships for 3 months, you know, stacked up against somebody else who was throwing up and using the bathroom all over each other and just that. And you
Still
made it through
the
harsh field. You know
yes.
what I mean? You are not only a survivor, you are a thriver. You are here, and that is your victory. That is not a victim. So that's hopefully,
right.
you know, some of the younger folks can look at it and go, yeah, I come from something strong. So whatever obstacle you're trying to throw at me now, I ain't even worried about that, you know, from where my people have come from, you know, what you're trying to put on me is, you know, you better go on with that. That ain't nothing to me, you know?
Exactly.
So
and
I'm hoping they'll
take
that
lack of significance, you know?
You know, I was thrilled even here in L.A., you know, the students, if you bring a report card or your student ID, you can come see Selma for free in L.A. as well. So I was thrilled that that's happened, that people can come in and see the film. I really think it's important.
It is really important. And I'm going to say this, too, real quickly, and we're going to go to a commercial break. And matter of fact, let's take a commercial break, and we'll come right back because I know I got you for a little bit here for a few more minutes. But I do want to say something I know is significant, especially about the things that's going on even right here in Georgia. So we'll take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network.
The Slice Bakery Cafe, located at 3230 Highway 42 North in Sweet B in Stockbridge, Georgia, is here for all your baking needs. Stop in today. Make sure you try one of these delicious red velvet, German chocolate, or key lime cupcakes. They also specialize in custom cakes, wedding cakes, pies, cookies, and more. If you haven't had an opportunity to stop in, they do have some free samples. Make sure you check them out online on theslicebakery.net. Or also call in your order ahead, 678-782-6541.
Insurance Associates Atlanta, formerly Mathis Insurance Services, is an independent agency offering personal, commercial, life, and health insurance products to meet the needs of your business and your family. We specialize in helping you protect all of your assets, whether you're purchasing insurance for the first time or searching for better products at a better price. Feel free to contact us at 770-483-0310. We're conveniently located at 1030 Remington Drive in Conyers, Georgia. Visit us online at insurance-iaa.com.
Are you ready for the best pizza, wings, subs, salads, desserts, and more? Stop by Pizza Day at 5248 North Henry Boulevard in Stockbridge, Georgia, open 7 days a week. Contact us for your daily lunch and dinner specials. You can like us on Facebook at It's a Pizza Day. Also, make sure you visit our website at itsapizzaday.com and order online. Delivery is also available, and if you haven't heard, let them know that you heard this on Loudmouth Radio.
Hi, my name is Carolyn McKenzie. I'm founder and president of Mental Health in the African American Community. Suicide claims about 40,000 lives every year in the United States. Traditionally, African Americans have felt that suicide wasn't as much of a problem as it is in other communities. However, a pattern has emerged among African Americans that could contradict reports of low suicide rates among blacks. Mental Health in the African American Community is a national nonprofit organization based in Stockbridge, Georgia. I started this agency because my niece had a mental breakdown and stabbed me and killed herself. We are doing something. Every Monday night, we have an open discussion called Let's Talk About It. Please come check us out at 125 Eagles Landing Parkway, Suite 121B in Stockbridge, Georgia. For more information, call 770-873-4496. That's 770-873-4496. Or visit our website, mhiaac.org, mhiaac.org.
All right, we're back live at Loud Mouth Radio, and we have on air with us tonight in the studio with Sonny, actor Kent Falcon, who is speaking vividly about his role as Dr. Sullivan Jackson in the recent release, critically acclaimed motion film, Selma. Kent, I know that before we went to a commercial break, we were talking about, you know, voting and just things that have become a reference from the past to our present. And what's amazing is that just last year, our radio network was pulled in to work with about 30 organizations that have formed a coalition here. Interesting enough, you know, everybody knows that Atlanta Airport is the largest international airport that hubs pretty much everybody to different destinations in the world. And amazingly enough, our county that the actual Atlanta International Airport sits in is Clayton County. And it has a small portion that is in Fulton County, which most people recognize, you know, for the county, for the capital of Atlanta. But, you know, over 70% of the airport rests on the Clayton County side. And up until this year, November 4th, this organization, this coalition, Friends of Clayton County, came together and pushed, which was heavily driven by labor organizations like Georgia Stand Up, the AFL-CIO, which is international labor and organizations. I mean, we had people coming in from D.C., all different places. Reverend Al Sharpton came to Atlanta. And we covered a press conference of him really speaking vividly about, and Kent, this was so, it was funny, but it was the truth. And in one aspect, during the press conference, he said, you know, he talked about vividly during the times when he was marching with Dr. King and you know, talking to our people that are, you know, old enough to remember those days and our young folks that, look, back in those days, we couldn't even get on the bus. You know, now they're putting us off the bus. You know what I'm saying? So, this county had a bus transit at one point. It was taken away 4 or 5 years ago. And this, over the last 3 or 4 years since that process happened, took organizations and people like Ms. Roberta Abdul-Salam, who was a former state representative, to step up and say, look, these people in their own county can't even get to their own airport, can't get to jobs, can't get to the store. People are disabled, can't even get down the street to get medication, can't get to school. So the dropout rate of our colleges in the area are falling short. So, you know, it's what people don't realize is how things really connect. So I'm so glad that this film has come forth, and I really, really, really appreciate you coming on, you know, right in the height of this film, you know, being played. Because by the time the March on Selma anniversary comes up, most likely Selma's going to be going to DVD. You know what I mean? Even if we do not make our way into the theaters, which I don't see why not, because we can go and see everything else. Even after it hits the dollar movie, you know, still go and, you know, see this film and get the DVD and understand the significance of what all of this means. And ironically, the other day I was talking to a friend of mine who works with one of the clients that we do marketing for. And I asked her, you know, I was telling her about tonight's show, and she's not African-American. So I was telling her about the show, and I was saying, yeah, you know, I said, you listen in. I said, it's going to be a great show. And I asked her, I said, did you see the movie Selma? And you could see her response. She was, like, kind of nervous in the sense of even having a discussion about it. You know, it was kind of like, you know, I've heard about it, or no, you know, it's like we need to be able to talk to our other brothers and sisters of other nationalities about history. Let's talk about the things that's happening now, and let's not try to pity pat or play over it or disregard it. It's real, you know.
Right, exactly.
Even with Dr. King and the people that you guys saw upon the film that you guys are portraying, it took more than one race and one creed and one you know, personality, thought, and go in order for things to go. And I think it's so important now with the height of race relations and the things that are going on with law enforcement that we become more comfortable talking about what has taken place back then and how so much of it is happening similarly now, 50 years later.
Right.
So,
right,
you know,
right.
Your role,
I agree. I think, you know, yeah, that dialogue just needs to happen, and almost like a reconciliation where there's an acknowledgement of what, you know, what went down. I think the way Germany was able to move forward, given its very, very troubled past, you know, they have to admit, you know, the atrocities that they committed. They learn it in school, and they recognize it and go, okay, well, we cannot ever repeat that, and we have to acknowledge that happened, and that we had a hand in that. And, you know, the same with, you know, in South Africa, no one's trying to whitewash
the
issue. You know, it's just that,
man,
look, this is our history. Yeah, it's like there has to be an acknowledgement. There has to be a willingness to engage in the uncomfortable. And I think when that happens, then you learn, and then there's knowledge. And when there's knowledge, there's no more ignorance. And when you don't have ignorance, then you know, a lot of these other problems, you know, will take care of themselves.
That's right.
People are, you know, so that's, I hear exactly what, you know, what you're saying on all of this. I think that, you know, they just, we need to be able to talk. We need to be able to engage and also just listen. And, you know, I'm not trying to shout it, you know. And I think, you know,
right,
if we can acknowledge one another and acknowledge where the other person's come from, then we can move forward.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times it's just a misunderstanding or the disconnection, not really understanding, you know, what your feelings are. You know, sometimes
right,
we'll escalate things because you feeling I'm coming off one way and I'm feeling you coming off another. In reality, we probably just both on both sides want to be heard, you know.
Want to be
heard. Just acknowledge.
Right?
Yeah, just acknowledge. I'm not saying you can't change everything for an entire race, but just acknowledge me right now at this moment, that this
right,
is how I feel, and then I can acknowledge how you feel about this, and we can agree to disagree, but it just
sure
allows us to, you know, really treat each other as people and not
right,
as some,
right,
like you say, some kind of foreign species. I love your analogy of talking about, you know, slaves and the mentality of things, because that's just like, you know, what was, you know, those types of conversations. We still have those kind of, you know, circumstances just in a different climate. It's like, you know, the young
mm-hmm,
people with the sagging of the pants and, you know, being
right,
labeled a thug or being recognized or labeled because you're wearing a hoodie. You know, I saw
right,
this video the other day of a gentleman in D.C. that was talking about he has his sons dressed. They can't wear hoodies. They have to wear khaki clothes. They can't
mm-hmm,
be outside after dark alone. And, you know, he is saying, I don't
mm-hmm,
want my sons to be shot and killed because of the way they're dressing or because they are in a certain area at a certain period of time. And it's like his voice is saying that our whole lives are changing to not be profiled. So, you
right,
know, it's something to be concerned about when you have people that have to go through those extremes. Like, they can't even wear certain colors, you know. And
right.
Like,
no, I
know,
hear that. I hear that.
Yeah.
And I can understand that father's concern. You know, he's trying to
yeah,
do anything within his power to, you know, hopefully
keep
mitigate something
safe
or prevent something. But, you know, and then, and as so a lot of people quick to point out, you know, they shot Martin in a suit, you know. They shot Malcolm and he was in a suit, you know. So it was.
That's right.
It's one of those things where I can't fault him for trying to do anything that he can to try to keep his boys alive.
Alive.
And,
mm-hmm,
and then our job as a society is to fight and move forward so that his kids can dress any way that they want and have a fair shot at not being, you know, targeted or, you know, preyed upon or thought to be afraid or, you know, any of those things. So that, you know, that now that's our job. And we move
absolutely
society to get beyond that. You know, I don't know if you get a chance to see it. You know, the actor Nate Parker, he wrote and directed this piece. I saw it the other night. It was a film project I did with Lou Gossett and Glenn Plummer. Was screening at one of the studio here. and they screened Nate's film as well. And I'm blanking on the title right now. It'll come to me in a second, but it was really, really well done. The brother really put his stamp down on it. And the basic premise is, you know, there's a father who's concerned about his son. He's a white father, and he's concerned about his son and who he hangs out with. And you come to find out the father is a cop, and, you know, something goes down out in the streets, and, you know, somebody gets shot. And as you, well, I won't give the ending of it, but what it is that people need to think that any of these children could be your children. And that's how we need
that's
to look
right.
at all, you know.
That's
that
right.
Any child on the street could be your child.
Absolutely.
So,
it puts me in mind of, you remember the old school film? Yeah, exactly. You remember the old school film with Matthew McConaughey and what's my man name? God, I can't think of his name. Samuel Jackson.
Jackson.
A Time to Kill.
Time to Kill. There it is.
Time to Kill. Right at that point when they're in court and he's right at the space where they're gonna, you know, either hang him or let him go. And you
know,
he went over this whole descriptive about his daughter, and you know, he got to that pivot point and he said, you know, close your eyes, and he basically said, now, you know, imagine her being white. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like drastic things like that sometimes have to happen in order for a person to kind of take seize of what's being said, you know. And look,
sure.
I think it was just yesterday it came down in regards to Ferguson about the cop, you know, coming off of all civil rights charges of, you know, the
right.
Mike Brown shooting. So,
right.
you know, we just
right.
got all these things that are going on and happening in our world. And I just want to tell you, you know, Kent, thank you so much as an artist, as a trailblazer, you know, you guys inspire me. I'm working diligently on different projects myself, and you know, to
good,
see
good.
The growth.
Love to hear that.
Yeah, man, you see the growth of different things happening like this, and it just gives you hope. You know, as we've been talking, I've just been really trying to, you know, put out some pivotal things that you shared, like Ava being nominated. You know, as a woman at Sundance as a best director, you know, we can't
mm-hmm.
take these little, you can't take these things and minimize them because they're extremely important. And, you know, once you kind of shared a little tidbit about the Jacksons, I said, you know, this is why the reason is so important that we have to get our stories out, because if we don't tell them, people won't know.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's exactly. And it's almost by a miracle, you know, that Selma gets made, and it's, you know, I look at this project as so much divine intervention, you know, that, you know, I
yes.
see the Lord's hands all over this, you know, so much
mm-hmm.
that Ava was, she was the right person for this job, you know, and
what you say,
all the pieces to fall in place for her to helm it, and then what she's able to bring, I mean, just the little things. And I know, like, for me, when I see film and just to see the realness that she brought, like, you know, when the sister's waking up at night, you know, their hair is wrapped up. You know, that's, you know, we just kind of like,
okay. I mean,
yeah,
Martin
yeah.
called me, hell yeah, in the middle of the night, baby. Let me tell you something. My household is crazy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I got death threats
mm-hmm.
every time I turn around. My children are
mm-hmm.
at stake. I, you know,
mm-hmm.
somebody was asking, do you
I'm
feel like, you know.
I'm going all the time. I don't even know where we keep
yeah.
the trash bags on here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
they were like, do you think he was involved? And he said, no, you know what? That man needed, he needed that fellowship in his ear at that moment. Sometimes
oh,
you know,
sure.
it's too much noise in your head. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like
mm-hmm.
somebody was saying, well, do you think that they were having involvement, you know, relationships? I said, sweetheart, look what was happening. You got to, you know, sometimes
right.
you got to look beyond just that moment and see what's taking place. And, you know.
Right.
Just to see all the people, Harry Belafonte, to, you know, to travel all of these people to this area. And, you know, man, when I tell you people, if you
mm-hmm.
listen to this actual opportunity to hear this interview tonight and hear this show, that I hope that you guys take the time to go and see this film, because it is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I'm grateful. Kent, thank you so much.
I appreciate you having me. And like I too encourage folks to see it, you know, whether I was in it or involved in it or not, I think it's a wonderful piece of work. And
yeah.
I think I keep telling you, go, you will not be disappointed. You will thoroughly enjoy this film
from beginning to end.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I definitely appreciate you reaching out. I'm glad we were able to work out the time and got to spend a little time together. So I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And Kent, if you would like, please share with us your social media. And do you have any projects that we should know of got coming up that we should tune in and look out for?
Gotcha. Well, on the social media front, it's all pretty easy. On Twitter, I'm just at Kent Faulkon, KentFaulkon. And the same on Facebook. It's Kent Faulkon fan page. Hit me up. I check it all the time. I'll probably be looking at it in a few minutes when I get off the phone with you now. And in terms of projects, got a couple of writing projects that are moving forward, which is really, really good. Directed a couple of episodes of a new web series that's going to be launching in a couple of months called Bougie Dilemma, which is
I love it.
it's a great, well-written, well-acted series. It's kind of a cross between Sex and the City and Girls, the black protagonist, female actress here in Hollywood, and her adventures and misadventures in the dating career and that sort of thing. And it's really, really well done. So I directed a couple episodes of that, and so that's going to be hot. And, prayerfully, we, for better or worse, we'll be back in production. I know the new season that it's going to air in the spring is just going to be completely bananas. When I say Richard and Keisha go in,
On this past season, so I can only imagine the escalation of which is going to be going. Don't hurt my girl, Kiki, please. Okay.
I'm going to have to do her some
love potions. Oh, my God.
Well,
that's awesome. And what nights are you guys maintaining that position going into the new season?
Wednesday at 9, unless it changes, it will be Wednesday at 9.
Wednesday night, awesome. I appreciate it, darling. I think that it's always a blessing to be able to have this time to talk to you. And I will be on the sidebar calling you on a few things because I'm doing some things this year that I haven't done and been working towards. And I just recently released, actually last night, my first webisode of my Sonny's Loudmouth Comedy Presents. That's like my homage to Carol Burnett, man. I mean, from the comedy aspect, I've always loved the characterizations and skits and sketch comedy. So it's going to have a mixture of all of that and stand-up comedy in it. But at least I got my first, episode out there and kind of positions it as a trailer as well. So I'm excited about that. So we'll connect, and I definitely got to see you when you get back here in the city.
Will do. Hit me up.
Okay, darling. Well, I think that this has just been an awesome time period. I want to thank you again, Kent, for coming up. And do you have a website at all, darling?
No. I started several times to start to build one, and then it's kind of like, and then my creative forces go somewhere else. So now I pretty much just do the social media thing, either Instagram, which is also at Kent Faulkon, or Twitter or whatever. So that's just kind of where things are right now.
Okay, Kent. That's all right, honey. Works for me. Well, I thank you so much. I'm going to go to commercial, and we'll talk again. And thanks again for showing up on Live My Radio for us in the studio.
All right. Keep doing your thing. I'll talk to you.
Thank you, darling. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network. It takes great content and the right media branding mix to deliver a great service. Here at Loudmouth Radio Network, we intend on doing both and exceeding our own expectations. Advertising on loudmouthradio.com provides you a cost-effective vehicle to brand your business repeatedly, providing you packages that consistently announce your business without breaking the bank. Despite the traditional high price tag that traditional radio brings, it makes sense to become a media partner with Loudmouth Radio that provides you an already built-in multimedia campaign to push your brand out. Make sure you contact us today, and any of our specialists with Loudmouth Media Brand will be able to help you get out further. Contact us today at 706-363-3895. And don't forget, visit us online at loudmouthradio.com. Insurance Associates Atlanta, formerly Mathis Insurance Services, is an independent agency offering personal, commercial, life, and health insurance products to meet the needs of your business and your family. We specialize in helping you protect all of your assets, whether you're purchasing insurance for the first time or searching for better products at a better price.
Feel free to contact us at 770-483-0310. We're conveniently located at 1030 Remington Drive in Conyers, Georgia. Visit us online at insurance-iaa.com.
The Slice Victory Cafe, located at 3230 Highway 42 North in Sweet Bee in Stockbridge, Georgia, is here for all your baking needs. Stop in today. Make sure you try one of these delicious red velvet, German chocolate, or key lime cupcakes. They also specialize in custom cakes, wedding cakes, pies, cookies, and more. If you haven't had an opportunity to stop in, they do have some free samples. Make sure you check them out online on theslicebakery.net. Or also call in your order ahead, 678-782-6541.
Are you ready for the best pizza, wings, subs, salads, desserts, and more? Stop by Pizza Day at 5248 North Henry Boulevard in Stockbridge, Georgia, open 7 days a week. Contact us for your daily lunch and dinner specials. You can like us on Facebook at It's a Pizza Day. Also, make sure you visit our website at itsapizzaday.com and order online. Delivery is also available, and if you haven't heard, let them know that you heard this on Loudmouth Radio.
Hi, my name is Carolyn McKenzie. I'm founder and president of Mental Health in the African American Community. Suicide claims about 40,000 lives every year in the United States. Traditionally, African Americans have felt that suicide wasn't as much of a problem as it is in other communities. However, a pattern has emerged among African Americans that could contradict reports of low suicide rates among blacks. Mental Health in the African American Community is a national nonprofit organization based in Stockbridge, Georgia. I started this agency because my niece had a mental breakdown and stabbed me and killed herself. We are doing something. Every Monday night, we have an open discussion called Let's Talk About It. Please come check us out at 125 Eagles Landing Parkway, Suite 121B in Stockbridge, Georgia. For more information, call 770-873-4496. That's 770-873-4496. Or visit our website, mhiaac.org, mhiaac.org.
We'll be right back.
It takes great content and the right media branding mix to deliver a great service. Here at Loudmouth Radio Network, we intend on doing both and exceeding our own expectations. Advertising on loudmouthradio.com provides you a cost-effective vehicle to brand your business repeatedly, providing you packages that consistently announce your business without breaking the bank. Despite the traditional high price tag that traditional radio brings, it makes sense to become a media partner with Loudmouth Radio that provides you an already built-in multimedia campaign to push your brand out. Make sure you contact us today, and any of our specialists with Loudmouth Media Brand will be able to help you get out further. Contact us today at 706-363-3895. And don't forget, visit us online at loudmouthradio.com. You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network. You've been listening to In the Studio with Sunny live on Loudmouth Radio. If you have not had an opportunity, make sure you connect with us on social media at Loudmouth Radio on Twitter, at Loudmouth on Twitter as well. We're also on Instagram, and we're also on Facebook. So you can look us up at Loudmouth Radio Network on Facebook and like our Facebook page. You can also follow us on Instagram at Loudmouth. And you also can come to our website, loudmouthradio.com. And as you've heard this evening, we are always, always, always looking to connect with great media partners. So if you have a small business that requires the world to know who you are and you're not too scared to come on here and talk to us, you know, we always want to encourage people to speak vividly because you are the visionary, you are the voice of your business and the personality behind the company. So it's very rare that you have an opportunity to speak unfiltered about the company, about the business, where you are and where you want to head. But right here on Loudmouth Radio, we're really happy about our newest segment, the Entrepreneur Academy, which is called Tea Time on Loudmouth Radio, and set up for business owners to have a 30-minute opportunity to speak about their company and to have the ability to have their business marketed, promoted, and advertised on our radio network. So if you also have a smartphone, for all our techie people, I'm sure you know how to download an app and bring it up to your liking. So I'm going to share with you about our apps that we're sitting on. Stitcher Radio, which reaches over 4 million car dashboard systems. Make sure you put us in on Loudmouth Radio Network. Pull us up, friend us, and follow us on Stitcher, as well as TuneIn Radio that has over 50 million active listeners. Loudmouth Radio Network, each and every episode is actually uploaded and archivable. And always, you can always pull us up on iTunes or go directly to blogtalkradio.com/loudmouthradio. We've been blessed. At the end of the year, we hit our 100th episode. On Sunday, January 25th, we'll be 2 years in the making. And we're not slowing down. So I think that as the producer of this network, I want to encourage those that are in surrounding areas. You can be in Georgia, in D.C., it doesn't matter. We have the reach and ability to cater to you. And we really just try to make sure that we stay with our loyals, of our true desires, which is to empower, inspire, and entertain. Those are the things that are matters to us. And as we continue to grow, we're just really excited as a network to allow ourselves to be able to speak. And I believe we have Jazzy in queue with us. Jazzy, you there with us, hon?
I am here. I stepped out of a training class just to tell you that I've been off and on the entire night. What an amazing show, Kent. I love you, I love you, I love you. Didn't get a chance to speak with you, but the story, the explanations, the acting, the movie itself, absolutely wonderful. Bravo, bravo to all of you that put it together. And, Sunny, wonderful job, wonderful job.
Thank you, my dear. And I know you're not just saying that because you're my spouse. But
no, not at all. I'd be like,
yeah. But I want to say, you know, it's so funny. I was just thinking of you as we were winding down out of this actual programming. And I just want to let you guys know just how significant it is for us as a radio network to be present in the community. Right now, Jazz is actually in downtown Atlanta. She's not far from me right now, but she's in another location doing some training and working with the homeless in the city of Atlanta to basically help to get a count of how many people are in the metro area, downtown Atlanta, that needs to have the attention of overcoming homelessness. Mm-hmm. And I also want to just congratulate her on establishing her outreach ministry, which is called From Words to Action. And we had a great show on Tuesday night. For those who's listening tonight, you didn't hear it on Tuesday, archive the show. It was called A Call to Serve. And just significant. And as always, she's doing her labor of love right now as we speak. And I thank you for tuning in. I saw you in the queue listening pretty much the whole time. And Kent was wonderful, you know.
Oh, my God. Incredible.
Girl, I mean, you would never know
if she ever
going to
say anything on that phone. No,
you
wouldn't. I said people were looking at me crazy because I was listening, and then I stopped, stopped. But just an amazing show and the information. I was like, you know, I wanted to say something, but I'm in a training class. I want to go, for real? They did that for real?
Right,
It was really, really good, really good. I thoroughly enjoyed the little bit. I can't wait to archive the show so that I'll be able to know exactly every single thing that I missed. But can I give a quick plug? I know this is the ending of the show. It is still an opportunity for people to come and volunteer. This survey will be going on to approximately 3 a.m. in the morning. They are getting they're doing as many surveys out on the streets tonight. It will continue to fall over into next week to go actually into the shelters to volunteer, but they really, really need as many volunteers as possible. They were looking for 400 volunteers.
Can you elaborate
today
more on the survey and what it means?
Well, you know what? If you give us another opportunity, we'll post it on the blog and post it on online because I'm kind of stepping out.
Okay,
It's basically what you just said. The more surveys that we do for the homeless that are out on the street and in the shelters, and not only just in the shelters, but those also who are in extended stays and, you know, sleeping on someone's couch and having those opportunities, what is actually happening is the survey goes
so transitional. Not only homeless, but also transitional.
Right. Okay. But what it does is it's going into a database. That database is then turned over so that they can get funding from, let's say, HUD, which they've already asked for $8 million. And, of course, as many people as we see in just our outreach, we know that $8 million is not going to go so far. So they are trying to get as much accuracy as possible so that they can justify why they need those funds.
Absolutely, and that's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. You know, it's a new year. The funds are available. HUD is stepping in. That's huge. So that may be something that we'll need to definitely bring back and talk further about, you know, on the radio network. And I know that we are going to be revitalizing some things that we brought last year in the earlier part of the year, like the Legal Voice. You know, that's a very important series that we interjected into Loud Radio. And, you know, that will be a combination of, you know, attorneys that are working within their field as well as, you know, encouraging some law students to talk in that forum and just talk about different things that are going on in the world that matter. And as well as what's on your mind, you know.
I'm gonna cut in and say you can wrap it up. I gotta go back to class. Thank you so much, everyone. It was a great show.
Okay, thank you, sweetie. So guys, you know, you're hearing it here. We are thoroughly just really excited about the growth of what we're doing. And at this point, I'm gonna go ahead and wind it on down. And I think it'd be good we kind of go out with a little bit of Black Messiah D'Angelo's new album is out for all my music heads. And heard some tracks on that thing. It's pretty nice. So I got to tell you this, Premiere Week has just been amazing. We've had three fantastic shows this week. Next week we'll be, I can't begin to tell you how excited we are to have this opportunity to interview DJ Black Coffee. It's no secret, Jazzy and I are just, you know, huge fans of him as a producer, South Africa's prince when it comes to music. The guy is phenomenal. We played one of his songs, We Are One, tonight. And You know, if you don't know about this dude, trust me, you're going to want to Google him and listen to him. He is a creative genius. So we're excited about that coming up next week and new shows. So make sure you tune in next week with us. We're in the studio with Sunny on Thursday, Tea Time on Wednesday, and The Bare Truth, Love, Life, Sex, and Flowers with Ms. Jazzy Jones Smith. And again, as always, it's been awesome. Thank you guys next week. You're listening to the Loudmouth Radio Network.